Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Today is September 10th, and we've got a special episode. It's a Talkin' Yanks and Shea Station crossover app to preview the series coming up against the Mets. So let's get into it. Let's talk some Yanks and a little Mets as well. Talk about both teams.
Talkin' Yanks with old John Boy. John Boy J. Recaps galore, weekly awards, stat lines, steaming hot takes. Get your Yankees news from these two fine dudes. It's time for Talkin' Yanks. Talkin' Yanks with old John Boy, John Boy and Jake.
Jerry Jolly.
Talkin' Yanks with old John Boy, John Boy and Jake.
All right, welcome to Talkin' Yanks plus Shea Station. Like I said, special episode today. We're going to ask them five questions about the Mets. They're going to ask us five questions about the Yankees. It's going to be a grand time. If you're just listening to Talkin' Yanks and you want to watch this on YouTube like you normally do, you're going to have to go to the Shea Station YouTube. That's where the video will live. So head there and you can see Jerry's beautiful hair. I can't really see Jolly, the cameras, but he's got a beautiful light on him. Shining perfectly, and Jake looks like Jake.
It's premeditated for Jolly. I mean, that all comes together with the hair up and what's going on around the mouthal region, it's a beautiful thing. Boys, how are you doing? I'm excited to talk some shop with you. Yanks look good. How are my Mets?
Oh, yeah, they're red hot, man. Both teams.
God.
It's going to be a long
this. This is us. We're trying to lift each other's spirits here with the Yanks and the Mets just imploding on both ends.
Absolutely. And both teams are steaming hot, right, boys?
Look good.
Yanks have lost 9 out of the last 10 or something like that. So, yeah, they're just waiting and itching to play the Mets.
They had to get one more losing cycle out. They get hot for a little bit, they lose. So, that first week of September, that's kind of on us. We overlooked that. It's good good schedule management to get another handful of losses just out of the way and bring the Blue Jays back in the playoff race. But I'm excited to see what's going on in Mets land. We do Talkin' Baseball, and when we bring up the other teams, you kind of have to talk in generalities, but you miss, in a series, a player can become your hottest player, or you can be your least reliable guy. But, you look at the stats and you still see, 330 homers, and you're like, they're having a great year, right? And it's like, no, dude, that guy's having a bad time right now. So interested to hear what you boys have and chop it up.
Yeah, I mean, both of our pods kind of fell apart on schedule pod notions, like we were both kind of cocky going in. The Mets went 4-4 against the Marlins and Nats, and no ground made up there, really. They just kind of stayed afloat, and some guys are heating up too, like the numbers are turning up. But yeah, the exact thing you said.
Yeah, you lose a series to the Marlins and it doesn't feel good, especially when it's crunch time where both teams are behind the eight ball and they're both just kind of letting it go. So it's one of us is going to come out on top, whether it's in Queens or the Bronx, but it'll be fun and entertaining either way. I promise you that.
This series is going to be decided on Sunday in the 9th or 10th inning and decided by a wild pitch walk-off. And if you're not prepared.
Wow, bold call.
You're not prepared for that, because that's how both teams walk away losers. If you're not prepared for that, just get prepared. Like, no one's going to walk away satisfied from these 3 games.
Okay, so no one's going to
walk
time.
Away just bloodied and gross. Like, well, over, we walk that, a shame.
Yeah, well, we got the series win.
But the winning team won't be happy, but they won't be as sad.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Yeah. Well, you said walk-offs. Me that means that. Mets win, so I'm cool with that, man.
Damn.
Oh, see? Dude, I didn't want to blind you coming in. So we had a really passionate, a lot of emotions, a lot of other influences last night on Talkin' Yanks. Totally forgot we're playing NL ball, so, like, we're not going to see – half of our good players, because they'll start them on the bench and be like, that's a strategy. But that's sorry to get heavy into the Yankees.
Best pinch hitters in the league, man. Best pinch hitters.
God. In the league. Well, the analytics, they just can beat the game, which they've proven over the last. Nope. Oh, wait, they haven't. Anyway, you guys want to ask questions? We ask a question.
Yeah, the format of today's episode, guys, is going to be me and Jared bringing 5 questions for the Talkin' Yanks lads. Talkin' Yanks lads are going to bring 5 questions for us. We're going to go back and forth. It's going to be a good old time. Pretty straightforward. looking forward to it. So you guys want to start us off or no?
Yeah, we'll start off. We have we're thoroughly prepared.
We wrote a list.
We wrote down a list.
We
wrote a list.
Oh, we got a list too. We got a surplus as well. Just saying.
Oh, well, we don't have that.
Okay.
No one's ever said we're over prepared.
We're just confident in our
five. It was a, make it was up, competition.
We can make up 6 to 10 like that.
Where are you going first?
I don't know. Bill Hader texted me. So.
Whoa.
Wow. There we go.
Establish your dominance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually am jealous of that
the
one.
Blue Jays, because of the Blue Jays, are you guys in the postseason wild card? Are you out now? So, you know, thanks,
okay,
Bill.
Okay. Catching up.
Right, yeah. Just yeah.
The roundup. You should send him a link to google.com.
No, I like my favorite talk baseball buddy.
Nice. Ask That's a crazy. Question.
What hitter do you guys want up in a big spot right now? That maybe, if it is an obvious answer, that's fine. But maybe like, you know, one that Yankees fans wouldn't know. I think, I guess I'm going to exclude Alonso if he is the answer, because that's the generality Yankees fans would be like, oh, Alonso's right up. He's scary. So who's maybe a second tier hitter that, you know, we should be more scared when he comes up than we would be usually?
I don't know if me and Jer have the same answer here. Jer, I want to let you go first.
He's definitely not second tier, but I'm saying Lindor because of how his season has gone through injury, underperformance. I think this would be a moment in a big game for him to come through, would just raise spirits, raise the level of his entire season. And for Mets fans to see him destroy a Yankees team in a big moment would kind of erase a lot of the scars of the past year. So Lindor is definitely not second tier. So that doesn't really fit the criteria, but
that's fine. I'll allow it. Is he on a power surge right now, or is it just hitting every single which way?
I think he's just starting to play like himself. He's actually starting to look comfortable. He looks better in a Mets uniform at the plate. Doesn't look like he's pressing. I think he's finally settling in.
Yeah, he's barreling the ball a lot more with like a lot more consistency now too. He just looks more confident in general. I think he needed that little stretch there. But for me, I think mine's a little different. I think, well, my answer normally would be Nimmo, but Nimmo's injured right now. I always feel best when Brandon Nimmo's at the plate, cause I just feel like he's always going to get on base. I think for a clutch hit specifically, not even like sixth inning or anything like that, like ninth inning clutch hit, I would go Michael Conforto, I think, just cause he's had a couple over the past couple weeks between, you know, the Marlins home run where we swept, or some of the series in Washington, he had some late hits there. So like, you know, you're always at a risk for a strikeout with Javi. And that's sort of why I veered away from that, even though he's hot right now, because you don't want to strike out in a big spot like that. So I would go Conforto there, but the problem is there's no fantastic answer outside of Alonso really right now, because the offense is kind of back to slumping again.
But Alonso is still a guy that you guys trust right now. Like he's in a good way. He has like three homers in the last like four games, right? Or something.
He's
like that.
Probably the only one we've trusted all year, I'd say, consistently.
Yeah, he's been hitting line drives everywhere. He didn't hit as many home runs. He hit like three lasers off the wall in Washington.
Yeah.
I think he leads the team in triples too. The ball just bouncing crazy everywhere. It's funny to see a polar bear run, you know, that far around the bases and still be able to breathe at the end.
His body is a beautiful thing. Yeah, we've been tracking that a little bit. Producer BBD has been crushing the homer draft for us, and a lot of Polar Pete fist pumps. But then you mentioned the off the wall stuff, and that kind of kept us in check a little.
Yeah, well, he is a Met.
But that's cool. Like, I guess I'm happy for you guys, because I know, you know, when I think Conforto, I don't want to say lost season, but heading into free agency, I mean, you know, if he had another big year, he could have been lining up the bag this year. And
it's a good spot for the Mets, though. Honestly, yeah, it sets it up for a QO maybe. Like maybe he would take that, because I don't know if you want to go for a max deal after a season like this.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't thought about it. Well, glad they're saving their season.
I could see him. I could see Conforto doing something like Simeon did. Toronto giving him, you know, a short gig, and then him showing like everybody how good he really is.
Right.
And hitting the free agent market again and doing some great things. That guy can play some ball.
What's the term for those contracts? Pillow contract?
Yep.
Yeah,
just like a gap year, just a bet on yourself kind of moment.
I love those when they go right.
Yeah, when they go right.
Yeah.
All
right, Jerry, you want to go first?
Yeah, so Jake kind of talked about a little bit earlier about like strategy and analytics and how that kind of segues into the question I have. So Luis Rojas has been on the hot seat kind of all year. He's really made some questionable decisions. with the bullpen pinch hitting lately. So he's kind of been on the hot seat. How do you guys feel about Aaron Boone? Because I know he's been, they were calling for his head earlier in the season. Then you guys had that big 13 game winning streak. So where is he sitting right now as far as, you know, his future with the Yankees?
Well, so Boone's the face of it, obviously, and that's by design. So as fans, you know, you can't, some people are like, it's not Boone. It's like, well, by design, it is. That's what they want us to think. But the Yankees follow such a script with their bullpen that Jake and I have know their play. Like, we know their playbook. So on our pregame shows, we can basically tell you who they're going to pitch. I said that yesterday, even if it was a close game, they were going to pitch Sal Romano and Andrew Heaney, who are the two worst players in the pitchers in the bullpen. But just by doing the math, and I think a lot of casual fans or that haven't like looked that deep would be like, they can't pitch those guys in a close game. And we were like, oh, well, they are, because that's what the playbook says. So Boone's just following the book. So it's frustrating, but when it's so scripted and they follow such a script, Boone's not the one. So he's getting handed a script. And I think you've been around modern games, and Plouffe's been around modern games, and he's told us, like, yeah, some managers get literally handed scripts. Let's say eighth inning, lefty up, pinch hit this guy, or, you know, this amount of runs, this pitcher, this amount of runs, this pitcher. So I don't know. Boone's kind of like a mood setter, and his one gift there is that he's just always positive, which I don't know how well that plays in the Bronx when you have this tough of a season. So I don't know if that's an answer. It's bigger than Boone.
We're kind of fine with Booney, but that's because we live in the weeds and we know, you know, what the front office is doing. And, you know, we check the bullpen budget every day. So, you know, you're crazy.
We'll call it that.
Your crazy uncle that comes in and checks out and, you know, the seventh inning of the game, and they say, hey, where's Johnny? Where's Chad or whatever? Like, well, hey, Johnny's hurt. He's out. And like, if Chad's worn out, they're just not going to use him. So, The unfortunate part is some of the roster stuff. And like, we should also probably preface this by saying, like, every time we've run into Boone, he's been super nice to us. So like, I'm not going to ever call for that dude's job or anything. Like, he's a nice guy. And hey, when they're winning 13, Boone looks like a genius because he stayed level headed all year, but you start losing again. You look like a little bit of a casserole. So
a new manager would just follow the same scripts.
Yeah. And so he's just a representation of it. And it's probably funny when you zoom out. I mean, his record as a manager is probably pretty incredible if you were to actually just look at that. And I don't know. The thing that's been unfortunate really is that Jimmy mentioned some of the last guys on the bullpen roster. They've just been, they love stealing innings. And at this point of the year with your season on the line, I get that. You know, we knew this year was going to be a goddamn race the whole way. Pitchers didn't pitch last year, but man, like, to try to do that when you're in the playoff race, you just can't. You just can't. So that's been the most frustrating, that, like, you know, no shots. Well, shots fired at Andrew Heaney a little bit, but the guy's been a starting pitcher his whole career, and he's clearly not in a good spot right now. And so you're bringing him in to these situations out of the bullpen, close games in a pennant race. Like, that's unfair to him. So yeah, Boone's fine. It just, it sucks, man. He's a little kid and you're punching your pillow when you go to bed. And that's kind of how the Yankees want him.
Yeah. So the main thing there is bullpen management. That's like the main gripe.
Well, the main thing is he's just a figurehead
that
sets the tone, and then he gives that script. So I understand that. That's very frustrating as a player to understand that there's no real decisions being made in game, where you're just like, all right, well, you go to your manager to be like, why did we do this? And he's like, well, I can't do anything else because this is what I'm told to do. That's really frustrating. And it's hard because Boone wears it. He wears it from the fans, and that's why. So everybody behind making all these decisions says, Boone, just stand out there and get tomatoes thrown at you.
And when they hired a new manager and looking for managers, that was like literally the public resume, or like, you know, what they're searching for. Yeah. The public details were be a liaison between analytics and player. So if a guy's not starting, you're the buffer to say, well, the analytics say that, and like make them understand at a player level. which is why I think guys like Booney and Ross and these players are getting gigs, because the analytic guys are like, we need someone who understands the clubhouse to be able to tell them what we're saying. And like, they're not gonna make decisions.
The accent there, though. Yeah,
that was an actual sound clip. That was a sound.
I couldn't even believe that.
You put a mic in the analytics department. Yeah.
Well, and well, while we're at the bullpen, we wanted to come at it from a
nice a segue, bit. Jake.
Yeah, I'm wow. show. I'm show.
No big deal.
We wanted to see, you know, these Yankee fans watching this series, when a guy comes out of the bullpen, you know, we're going to look at their stats, or we'll be like, hey, you know, Edwin Diaz, I know that guy, Trevor May. Yep. You know, but bullpens fluctuate so quickly, Jerry, I probably don't have to tell you, a guy's rolling, a guy's not rolling, that happens quick out there. Who is the guy that you guys don't want to see on the mound in the seventh inning tied game now?
Who should we be excited about if it's, you know, within three, either way, reliever comes out and Yankees fans should be like, okay,
we got know my answer is super
yeah,
easy.
Yeah, I'm going to let Jolly take this one just to jump. I want to hear what he has to say here.
You can look at last game, Brad Hand. I mean, I know they're kind of keen on him, but they're Brad Hand.
I wouldn't have made this a question if I knew Brad Hand was an option. Hey. Obviously, that's the answer.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Because he's being used in 7-8-9 right now. Like, I know the Mets are kind of keen on getting the guy that they wanted in the offseason, and now they have him. But there's a reason that every contending team passed on him when they could have had him. Like,
do you know the Yankees record against Brad Hand? Let me pull this up for you. It's
amazing. Insane, I bet.
They do well against Brad.
I mean, like, we have so many weapons in the bullpen this year, and I get that, like, they've kind of been all exhausted because we've been leaning on them a lot recently. Like, you know, your Loops, your Mays, Lugo, Diaz, all that. But, you know, Brad Hand's been getting the look in the seventh inning, sometimes the eighth, and every time he comes out, it's hard to watch. Like, Brad Hand has been spectacular in past seasons, and I don't really know what's going on this season. I still think his slider's dirty, but every time he goes out there, I'm scared to watch him field a ground ball. I'm scared to watch him throw over the plate. It's just, it's not fun. So I would say Brad Hand is the easy answer there, because our bullpen has been the most reliable, I think, in my entire life.
That was also my answer. He just doesn't look comfortable, doesn't look confident out there. And as a pitcher, you have to be confident, at least knowing what your stuff's going to do. And he doesn't even have that approach. He kind of looks a lot like Chapman up there. Chapman is still so nasty, but he just doesn't look confident when he's throwing the ball. It's crazy to see such a powerful presence, such a historically great pitcher, kind of look lost up there. I've been there myself. I had a tough season in 18 where I'm just like, all right, I'm going to have to figure something out. So it's Brad Hand, and I hate to say it, because we wanted him big time in the off season, and we get him in this stretch run, and he's had some rough go as a Met already.
And this is kind of like an audition for 2022 for him. Like, I think that's why the Mets brought him in, to see if they could like warm up to him and get him on like a team friendly contract or something. But, you know, he lost us the game yesterday. There's no two ways about it. I mean, obviously you got to score more than two runs, but that's just been the Mets the entire season. But Brad Hand throwing that ball away just kind of threw away Marcus Stroman's good outing and everything. So I definitely don't want to see him pass the seventh in any of the games this weekend.
I don't like, he is like Heaney to me. Like, when I see, and like Brian Fuentes from back in the day, it's like, when I watch the pitch, I'm like, that doesn't play out of the pen.
Yeah.
And the Yankees absolutely crushed Brad Hand. So you're right. I would be excited if he came in. He's got a 5 ERA in the last 4 years and a 13 ERA in the last 2 years against the Yankees.
Damn, 13. And
even at his best.
And as a team, the Yankees have a .348 batting average, .466 on base percentage, and .1 OPS against Brad Hand. So yeah, that's a great answer.
Prime. And the Mets also had great numbers against Brad Hand too, but now he plays for us, so it's kind of tough.
Wow, almost got in your own way there.
Yeah, a little bit.
You let him go, he'd probably be on the Yankees. He'd probably be Andrew.
Maybe. You never know. It would be him or Sal Romano. So, I mean, who would you pick?
Oh, big Sal.
I didn't even know he was back on the Yankees until you guys told me. I didn't check the box from last night. I
called him up yesterday and then used him in a tied game in a 7-7.
That's insane.
Tied game in the seventh inning. He just got called up.
Season crazy.
Threw him right into the fire.
Season semi in the balance.
And they had other other options available.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Those are the decisions that I will never understand is, in the grand scheme of things, over a stretch, you have analytics to say these are things that you need to do to make sure pitchers don't get worn out or they need their work. But when the season is literally on the line, when you have these high leverage, not just in-game leverage, but in-season leverage, you got to bring in a known quantity that's going to give you a chance to be successful. Which, talk about putting guys in places where they want to like be successful. Setting guys up to be successful is not putting an Andrew Heaney or a Sal Romano in a game like that. Like, it blows my mind that that happens.
They don't understand that players are human.
Emotion. Jerry.
Like, all they see is, okay, we've had a lefty starter, so the Blue Jays have a lot of righties and they stacked them because it was going against a lefty starter. So the first one out of the pen should definitely be a righty. That's why it's so easy for us to guess. Okay, who's a righty that is available? And, you know, Chad's going to be pitching the eighth, so he's not going to be the first out of the pen. Wandy should have been the guy, but he's a lefty. And they cared more about going to a righty after the lefty than the guy who's been getting big outs for you. And comfortable.
Right-hand career ERA against the Mets, 4.61. Against the Yankees, 4.91. So, like, same ballpark.
Who doesn't like New York?
Doesn't like New York, man.
Get a slice, Brad.
Clear as day.
Are you guys up or are we up?
Yeah,
you...
no, I think we're up, right? Because you asked about Diaz.
Yeah, hit it, Jolly.
Then we just trailed off. All right, I like this one because this one's not really, like, player-related. This one's kind of for you two specifically as fans.
Ooh.
And I know you're kind of, you know, you started a Mets pod on your company or whatever, so you're Mets empathizers in a way. Where do you rank the Mets on the Yankees' list of supposed rivals?
Hmm.
For me, I've been very the way I phrase this is you have – the Yankees have one rival. There's one team that I – like, I don't like Chris Sale. Like, I really want him to pitch very badly. And I don't have that for any player on any other team.
Wow.
If Sale was on my team, I'd root for him. But there's certain players on the Red Sox. There's some players I like. I like Verdugo. I like Devers. But there's certain players that just because they wear a Red Sox uniform, I'm out on them. And that's the only team where that exists, especially as we grow this and we talk to more players and, like, you humanize them and stuff like that. And I've never met Sale, and I kind of don't want to because I really like having him as an enemy of the state. But that's all. So I always say there's temporary rivals. The Astros were that for a little bit where it's just like, you know, 10 years from now, this may not matter. My parents grew up. My dad had the Blue Jays or the Royals as a big rival at points. And for
I still hate the Royals. So
that's just not for me. And then you have the Rays right now.
Yeah.
Because they were throwing at each other. They piss me off because they're so good at what they do. And it's like weird. But the Mets, and this is different because there are a lot of Yankee fans that hate the Mets. We grew up in Connecticut. So we grew up like Red Sox fans are at school, Mets fans are at school. You were constantly around other people the Red Sox were still the main focus.
Of your 10 friends, 4 were Yankees, 4 were Red Sox, 2 were Mets.
Okay. And
that was just the Connecticut formula.
Yeah. So I would say it's 4th right now. Even on the temporary, I would say Red Sox 1, Astros, Rays, Mets. But for me, it's not even anything. It's more of there is a pride of the city factor. Like you get the newspaper, you get the casual fans to be like on your side for the series. But if anything, it's just more fun. It's like it definitely makes it different than playing the Braves.
It's always the Red Sox. I mean, the Yankees and Red Sox are UNC Carolina. They're, you know, they're top rivalry in sports. It's when it's at its peak, it's tough to beat anywhere. The Rays definitely get the floater spot for now. I think even above the Astros, you know, Yankees, you know, the Astros, that used to be like every day for us. That's kind of been out. It's kind of been nice for a little bit since we've played them. Right before the All-Star break, we haven't heard any of that.
And the Yankees tried to.
And Tampa's like almost earned it. Like if we didn't say Tampa, because they've just been beating the shit out of us. Like they really have. So the thing I say, like I root for the Mets when they're not playing the Yankees. My dream is to like be an adult in New York City for a Subway Series. Like, and then for those 2 weeks, boy, will I be saying some stuff about the Mets that, like, now that we're on the internet, will probably live for a long time. But, like, I need it to get there. And until it does, you know, it's not going to be 10:45. I'm flipping to the other game on the couch and I'm like, oh, hope the Mets blow this one to the Nats. Like, no, I'm not there.
I also So this frustrates Yankee fans and Mets fans, but in 15, I was rooting for the Mets to win, the whole thing. Now, when they lose because they misthrow a ball from first to home and like it's like a crazy error, like I get to laugh at that a little, and Mets fans get pain. So that's where it's a little pokey. But I
that
also
hurts me personally. That cost me a World Series ring.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I didn't say anything, Jared.
But I was like, that was the storyline I wanted, but I just don't get heartbroken. But I will say that I have such a Northeast bias. I don't like hide from this, especially after moving to Illinois and California and seeing just a little bit more how in baseball specific, the Northeast lives and dies, just a bit harder than anywhere else I lived in fandom, in sports fan, in baseball fandom, I say, because football's different, basketball's different, but baseball fandom. So if it's Philly, Pirates, we'll cancel out the Red Sox because that's the only team that doesn't fit. I'll root for them over the rest of the country if the Yankees aren't involved. Gotcha. I do have that.
I like that answer.
Orioles? Do you root for a good Orioles team?
If the Yankees weren't involved, yeah.
All right, cool.
I mean, I don't hide it. I have a very big Northeast bias. I lived
what
all
does over a good country. Orioles team look like?
J.J. Hardy.
Machado.
Just picking
Mark Trumbo, right?
Trumbo, oh, Jones, Chris Davis.
Buck Showalter, bring him back.
Darren O'Day.
But
Darren O'Day was, well, a little too soon, but yes, Darren O'Day.
And I love OD.
And Britain. All right. Our question's somewhat similar. It's asking Mets fans or Mets, you know, Mets pod about the Yankees players in a certain way. Which Met would look best in pinstripes?
Okay, wait. So look best or like fit best into your current roster scheme? Because those are two different kind of questions.
I asked him a similar prodding question and he said yes.
He said, so however you guys
go
with it.
I think it's like the whole
package.
Is there a player where you're like, that's a Yankee?
Good question.
Like, Jerry, people probably come up to you and talk to you about crystals and stuff a lot. Like, they're Yankee crystal energy.
I tell you, my answer for who would look best in pinstripes, who kind of fits that is James McCann.
Okay.
Because he's well groomed, always got the sharp fade, good looking guy, well spoken, takes pride. He stands in front of the media and directs it that way. And plus your guys' catching situation is very interesting. So you need somebody that can hold it down.
Yeah, maybe
for
you need
bit.
James McCann. That'll solve all your problems. I think so.
I see what you're saying there. I mean, man, I could see the Yankees uncles clamoring for James McCann. This guy plays the game the right way. Okay.
I tried it with Brian McCann. Let's see if you can get it with James McCann.
God.
I got mine, but I hope it never comes true. And I don't think it will, because he just recently said he wants to come back to play for the Mets. But I think Aaron Loop, like, he's already clean shaven. He's a lockdown, reliable bullpen guy. You Yankees love your traditional bullpen maneuvering and stuff like that. And Aaron Loop fits right into that. He wouldn't close, but that's okay. And I mean, the Yankees would give him a bag, especially after the season he's had. So I'm hoping he comes back to the Mets, but after this season, I definitely see the Yankees making a play for Luke. I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Giving us all your studs, huh?
Yeah.
Damn.
How do you guys feel? How do the Yankees feel about Busch Light?
Yeah, true.
Sure, that was our college. That was our college beer.
College beer choice. Yeah. I was a PBR guy. It's interesting.
I feel like New Yankee Stadium is like a Heineken type approach. Stadium, not a Busch Light.
I don't really get Heineken.
It's
sometimes
so corporate.
You're feeling in a weird mood and you're like, let's get some Heineken. And then you're like, oh shit, now this is all we
I
got.
Like the green bottle, but that's about
that's
it.
That's literally every time I've drank a Heineken, I'm like, oh, why did I get a Heineken?
Yeah. Yankees have Heineken vibes this year.
They do.
The Yankees kind of have Heineken vibes.
Skunked.
The other one.
Skunked on purpose.
I laughed out loud.
That's the green bottle.
I laughed out loud. Someone took a picture like their family was coming to town, so they bought booze. And there's a six pack of Amstel Light. And I laughed. I like that might be the only beer I've never purchased. What kind of mood do you have to be in to get Amstel Light?
What's Amstel not light? Is there just an Amstel?
Yeah. Is there an Amstel? That's a good question.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's, what is it next to you where you're like, ooh, that Amstel light, that's sharp.
That's a that non, really that's you sent your, you know, maybe a non-drinker. I have an uncle that doesn't drink, and then I have a lot of aunts that aren't beer drinkers. They'll drink something else, and that they just grab something. They just drive.
They're just like, they walk by the aisle.
The beer drinkers at that party, Jake, didn't request Amstel Light.
Right.
They I don't think anybody's ever requested Amstel Light. I think it's sort of just like, I'll have it. Sure.
I'm kind of out on all the see-through bottles because they do the skunked on a purpose effect. And I really like that flavor.
I don't either. It's not for me. I'm not a beer guy in general, but the see-through bottles are.
Yeah.
Skunky.
DeGrom looks best in pinstripes. When I picture him in a Mets uniform, he's wearing the Mets pinstripes anyway. He's kind of the only one that like isn't part of the Mets circus for like five years in a row.
I disagree.
So that brings me to our question.
Yeah, look at that.
Segway pod.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You guys are such pros. This is why I signed on to John Boy.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm learning so much. So you guys have Gerrit Cole. That's your ace. He's been stellar. Would you right now trade Gerrit Cole's contract for Jacob DeGrom's contract?
How many years does DeGrom have left?
Well, I think he's got 2 years left.
2 years left with I think the second highest AAV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 years of what I would consider, I think it's kind of universal, that the best pitcher head and shoulders above even Gerrit Cole's greatness.
I'll go first. And I think it could come off hot takey. I mean, I think the answer is DeGrom only because those big baseball contracts, all the risk is in the last 4 or 5 years. Yep. And, you know, the Yankees, when they got Gerrit Cole, they were paying big money for these initial seasons, you know, for probably the same timeline as DeGrom's. So you're basically telling me I can have two pitchers in their prime and one of them I'm on the hook for the five riskiest years of their career. And that's not obviously not a shot at Gerrit Cole. That's just how life works. So I think people would be shocked to hear, you know, sometimes my logic actually kicks in and it works. But yeah, I mean, I guess the only caveat there is I'm so lost in this season that I mean, DeGrom's done, right? Have they officially dropped the it's not happening hammer? They refused. He ran away from
it. Yeah, but he's done, I think. I think it's safe to say.
Gerrit, you know, he did leave the game the other day with a little hammy thing or so he said, but he also said he might not miss his start. We'll see what goes on there. there's the sicko Yankee fan in me that's like, well, we'll keep Coley's healthy right now. So when we win it all this year, even though they've given me absolutely none of that.
So you guys have DeGrom for 3 more years because there's a club option.
There's a club option
that they're probably going to pick up.
I was just looking it up. I it might be one of those funky contracts where, like, they have to either pick up two, and if they don't,
yeah, I don't know the parameters around it.
Just because it says it's a player option, not a club option. That's usually what that means.
I'll take Cole, because it's nice having him locked up for so long and not feeling that window's so tight. And he has been good even post sticky stuff. He's also the assistant / the head pitching coach. So we'd be losing two big roles.
DeGrom does fill that role as well, though. He's big on advice and kind of leading the young guys a little bit.
Is DeGrom?
I appreciate the answer there.
What'd you say, Jim?
Does DeGrom what?
Our personal catcher, DeGrom?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's huge because it's my only knock on call.
Yeah, the whole Higgy thing. Is that still going on?
How come the best pitchers in the world think they need a personal catcher to be good? When like, hey, but you're the best pitcher in the world. You don't need anything to make you good.
I agree with you. It's a comfortability. And to me, I think it shows a lack of confidence. Like the fact that you think your success teeters on who you have catching you is shows some vulnerability that I just don't, I don't understand it.
For like, you know, an ace and the mental toughness, and then be like, but only if I have the right catcher. It's like, what? It's such
I agree. You're not a knuckleballer. You don't need your guy. You don't need a Toley, you know, for R.A. Dickey.
You think, Jerry, Cole shakes Higgy off, the guy he likes over Gary, constantly. Like, it's not like
rhythm.
He just likes the rhythm in which he puts down signs, I guess, which I understand and I appreciate. Coney talks about all the time, but it's not like he's going with Higgy's game versus Gary's game. It's just the time it takes him to get the, it seems so arbitrary.
I think to me, it's more of a knock on Gary on the lack of confidence to be secure in what he's calling and how he's going to catch his game. Because if he's trying to spot that outside corner and he just constantly moving it and trying to throw it back, it's going to piss him off. Yeah. And over the course of three innings, he's just going to be like, you know, F this guy, get him out of here. I'll take Higgy.
And that's also a little disappointing because the Yankees hired a catching coach specifically to change the way Gary catches, where he doesn't give a target. But they didn't change Higgy. Higgy still gives the target. And they were trying to convince the pitchers that, you know, you don't need the glove as a target. You can aim at the knee pad or the helmet. And so that, like, they're kind of set Gary up to fail there because he's just catching the way the coaches are. But now as pitchers,
the Mets kind of dealt that with Wilson Ramos. I don't know if you remember that drama with Noah Syndergaard saying, I'm not going to throw to that guy. It was more for those borderline pitches where you want a catcher to sometimes steal a strike for you, or at least to make you feel better about missing. Because if, like, he just gets it and throws it back and you're like, that was a pretty good pitch. And he's like, nah, you suck. And then you get the ball back and you're like, oh, maybe I do suck. Like, it's just a little mental barrier. But the fact that they're trying to tell Gary he doesn't need the pitchers that they don't need a target is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Like, you can't tell a pitcher what he needs or doesn't need. No. He's going to tell you. So I don't know.
I'm going to say I'd rather Cole's contract because I just like riding, living and dying with a player and following their career. Like CeCe was a stud. Three really not great years where he had to figure out how to pitch without his velocity. And then three really fun years where CeCe figured that out. And we got to follow that path. So, like, Cole, we have him 10 years. I'm just going to enjoy
them. I'm angling for either a Rockies or D-backs front office job. And yes. That was my pitch. I want the shorter contract. And, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's okay. I took my fandom out of it.
Okay. John, I love that loyalty that you have towards that player because as a guy like that got to watch CeCe be this, you know, upper 90s dominant, just pure stuff. To see him struggle and to see his ego and for him to let that go and just be like, all right, I got to figure out how to pitch at this level is huge. And for the Yankees to stick with a guy, I mean, CeCe is one of the best humans on the planet, but to let him iron it out and to help him figure it out, I'm all for player loyalty. So I'm with you on that.
And that's why I always say builds fan bases is having guys around forever and not knowing, like, you know, if you have DeGrom for 2 years, you just know he's leaving. Kind of like Kluber this year. It's like, well, dude, he's not going to be a Yankee next year, and he wasn't a Yankee the year before, so I'm not going to really get too invested in Corey Kluber, the Yankee. All right, our next question is,
what do you got?
What's a routine mistake or miscue that Yankees fans will be like, ha, 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 and Mets fans will be like, yeah. Like,
that happens once a series.
Once we do that. Hmm.
Let's see.
A VR getting picked off base.
Yeah, that's a really good one, okay. Actually.
Jonathan VR is having a stellar season. Like, I've been so impressed with him. He's played great defense, like, for the most part. He's had some throwing errors. He's hit, like, bombs. He's been one of our big pieces when all of the health went down. He's been, like, one of the mainstays of our lineup. But for whatever reason, even when he's not stealing, he'll just, like, fall asleep on the base paths and get picked off, get back picked, get thrown out trying to advance on something stupid. Just do something silly on the base paths where the Mets will just be like, what in the world? Like, we see it again. How many times do you have to get picked off?
And they just played the Marlins, who was VR's last team before the Mets, and they were thrown over every time he was on base because they know, like, he's not a good base runner outside of, you know, his stealing. Like, he just falls asleep sometimes. It's incredible. It continuously has happened in every month of the season. So I think that's, like, a perfect answer to that question.
Gary does love to back pick and try to pick up his pitchers that way. And you have Monty game one tonight, who's a lefty, does have a move. I don't think Kluber's going to do much. But okay, that's fun to watch out for.
Monty has a real shot. That's what I'll say, because he's got a nice move.
That's so funny, because that is such a you-watch-a-guy-day-in-day-out scouting report. Like, I know, you know, free agency will roll around. I'll be like, yeah, VR, he plays all over. He racks up some swipes. Like, he kind of that's a good ball player. And then when he's on your team, you're like, dude, just if you get picked off right now, I'm going to lose my shit. And not do that. Okay. So let's get VR on base. Is that what we want now?
I think so. I don't think you're going to have a choice.
He's going to get on base. Right, the guy balls.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I like that.
All right. This is our fourth question, right? I think four or five.
Yeah.
And then this one is going to be quick, but it's kind of trivia. Like, it's not really like an elongated answer. I just want to see, I want to peak your Subway Series knowledge here.
VR leads the league in caught stealings.
That doesn't surprise me. Yeah. Most of that is pickoffs, I think. He's honestly been really good at stealing bases.
Yeah, it's not even caught stealing. It's falling asleep. Like, he tied his shoes before he called time. He just bent down and was like, excuse me, and then tag him out.
All right, so we were just talking about DeGrom, and DeGrom's first start ever was against the Yankees in the Subway Series at Citi Field. Do you two remember who started for the Yankees that day, who also made their debut and beat DeGrom in that game?
Ooh. When you phrase it as a trivia question, I feel like I definitely heard it before.
Can you give me a year, or do you not want
that? It's 2014. It's a tough one. It's a good one, though. I was at this game, so that's why I remember it so well.
2014 debut.
DeGrom debut. 2014.
Is it like Brian Mitchell, or is that too early for him?
It's not Brian Mitchell.
Brian Mitchell is.
I feel like there's shout out Brian Mitchell. I feel like there's a a reason it's a trivia
like
question.
Like it's a name.
You know. Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. That's the Yankees trivia.
Damn, did BBD just put that in? That sounded real.
Like that's before anyone on the team, I think. It's before Savvy, before Sessa.
It's not one of your like main guys that have stuck around. But he was a rookie who made his debut this night and beat DeGrom.
It's pre-Sevy, right? Like, Sevy's 2015?
I think we've interviewed this person.
Okay.
I think I've heard this story before. But I'm Sevy was this, Sevy was Sevy was 15, I believe.
I'm going to quickly confirm.
I think Sevy started in 15, relieved in 16. Sessa started in 16, so I don't think it's Cesar.
I can give you the two other teams that he played for.
Give us one.
Tampa Bay Rays.
Well, they play everyone.
This was a 1-0 victory for the Yankees.
Holy smokes.
God, I know this as a trivia question. I do not know the answer.
What other team did he play for?
His last year was for the Braves in 2018. I'm surprised I stumped you guys. I didn't think I'd be able to.
Braves.
Jared, do you know this? Because I don't think I wrote down the answer.
No, I literally just looked it up, and then I had to look up the name.
All right, righty or lefty?
Righty. Yeah.
American or foreign? American.
Apparently, his nickname is Big Fella.
I didn't know that. That's a good nickname.
According to his baseballreference.com. And he is a big fella.
Yeah, he's
been out.
BBD's reaction to the name made me think.
I looked it up.
All right, who is it?
Chase Whitley. You guys remember that name?
Oh,
my God.
Chase Not Whitley.
Really. I mean,
beat DeGrom in his debut. That's wild.
Kind of a letdown.
Yeah, he's had a couple.
Sorry, Chase.
They had a Chase. That did like something similar in 2006 or something, right?
Chase Headley,
right? Four homers.
Chase Wright gave up the four homers to the Red Sox in his debut, or one of his first
starts. Yeah,
good for
Chase Wright.
Yeah,
14 is a pretty lost season.
Yeah, that's one of the non-playoff years, I think.
This is a rude comment. Chase Whitley's not a guy I ever considered having a debut.
Wow. Hot take, BBD. Hot take. Wow.
He didn't even get the win.
Like, that's just one of those.
Nah, he went 4 2/3.
He exists.
So he didn't qualify. Yeah,
longer career than I thought.
Who popped DeGrom?
I don't remember. I think it was a solo shot, though, right? Was it Tex?
Text, no home runs. 4 hits, 1 earned, 2 walks.
Yeah, I want to see who got DeGrom. Let's see.
Soriano
double.
Walked Tex. Soriano double.
Wow, I forgot Soriano's second stint.
He was at the game yesterday too, so you guys are screwed. He's
looking swole.
It's gone.
Swole.
Do you guys remember Scott Rice?
I do remember we were talking about Scott Rice like on our last pod, I think, actually.
Scott Rice. Yeah. Scott Rice is in one of my fantasy leagues.
Stop it. Go. 2015 Mets.
We have an ex Mets fantasy league.
Ricer.
He's in our Rice-a-roni.
I'm glad he's getting some love.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I wanted to know who is your favorite New York Yankee of all time that isn't like a big star? Like if you say Jeter, you know, I understand.
I'll go down the list, but you tell me when big star fades. Because it goes Jeter, Posada, Pettit, then probably you're going to get into the more modern Yankees, Tanaka.
I'd say Tanaka is okay.
Like,
not for Jake, like a
Bernie Williams or something.
That's okay. Jake's.
No, Bernie, like Hall of Famer.
Bernie should be in the Hall of Fame.
Bernie's like an unsung hero, though. Kind
yeah.
of. Bernie's the best player on that blitz. Yeah.
I'm trying to think back to like 90s. They all became names.
The reason why I ask is because like this could be Brett Gardner's last go around Subway Series. He's like a great Yankee that'll never be a Hall of Famer, but he's worn the uniform for so long. I can't imagine him in any other uniform.
He's like
somebody like that, like a blue collar kind of just a Yankee, somebody that would be respected by Yankees fans that, you know, other people may not know.
The Gardy, kind of tying it to the Cole DeGrom discussion before, baseball needs more Gardys. Like, you know, Brett Gardner in Yankee Land almost gets a bad rap because he's not one of those all-time baseball players, but he's still really good, and he's been on the Yankees forever, and, like, that's – the sport would be better if Brett Gardner's stayed in their respective cities for 10 years and they became a staple instead of spending 5 years getting traded and then you spend 4 years trying to latch on wherever you can.
Do you have Matsui as a big star? Did I say him?
Yeah, Matsui's a big star. I mean, I having played with like the Japanese players and Matsui myself, like the guy has hundreds of people outside of the hotel room at all times. Even though they're all Japanese, like mostly Japanese fans, he's just like a superstar.
So here's an answer that it didn't burn for long, but when him being my favorite guy burned as bright as any favorite is Chin Ming Wong.
I love that answer.
Second
love
and second answer that's, 1 year.
That's a good one because people will be like, oh yeah, I remember Chin Ming Wong.
Yeah.
Guy is incredible. Had a great career. Unfortunately hurt himself, but
I don't get a lot of jerseys with names on the back. I had like Jabba and Chin Ming Wong.
Jabba's a good one too.
Yeah. I love that, man. That's a good one. Thank you. Because that's a guy who, by the way, he has a Netflix documentary about his like comeback.
Yep.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it very much. So nasty for such a short period of time. It had like a foot injury, wasn't it?
Rounding the bases in Houston, pulled his hamstring.
Yep.
Gosh.
Ended his career.
DH, man. DH.
Nightmare.
Nightmare.
Yeah, good. For me, I live in... I live in two different fandom timelines. Like as a little kid, you know, you can idolize whoever. And I actually idolized role players a little more. As a youth, like I wrote a paper in like third grade. It's gone and has to be set on fire about Clay Bellinger, Cody Bellinger's dad, just cause he was like the role player on the Yankees. He was a total bench guy. And absolutely loved him. I mean, all of the Yankees bench legends, Luis Soho, you know, those
even
guys
Cairo.
Back when the bench was like the bench, like, you know, you had a certain level of love and respect for those guys. I love Chad Curtis because he would do the big barrel throws, but now he's kind of a bad guy. So I kind of shy away from that.
Yeah, don't say
and
that.
Nowadays it's tough for me. And I'm starting to enter a new level of fandom where I see a kid, a 22-year-old, like they called a Florio the other day, and he looks like a baby deer, and I fucking love that. Or it's the other end of the spectrum who this guy shouldn't count because he is like an all-time great baseball player. When Edwin Encarnacion was a Yankee for a half a year, I was just in love with that man. Just like, you know, 36, 37 years old, thicker than a mister. He was fighting the fight at first base. Like, because the Yankees were asking him to, even though, you know, he didn't have a ton of that in the bag.
Was that the year with, like, 9 different first basemen that you guys had?
That's been the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's a Yankees trait now. So like, Edwin in the realm of baseball shouldn't count, but in the lore of Yankees, I think he does count. And like, just watching him, watching him fight every day was just awesome.
Awesome. And he gets like the stats don't stick out, but he had like the bad first 2 weeks when he got here, and then he was on fire the rest of the time, and then he was very bad in the playoffs because he was hurt right before.
Yeah,
broken wrist.
Everyone was
came back right before.
So I found, I'm going through some rosters, and I found two more that I think you might accept. Jerry, Melky Cabrera when he got called up.
That's a good one.
One of the cooler outfield assist arms that I don't think people give credit for. It was just so straight with a little tail that he played perfectly every time. And then Cervelli. That's the trade that hurt me the most still to this day. I was like,
that's a good one. I forgot he was a Yankee. That's right.
I remember him as a pirate.
I thought he was going to be a forever Yankee, to be honest.
Because he seemed like he just
beat the guy
forever.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be a Yankee forever. He has that personality. I ended up playing with him in Atlanta in 19 a little bit when we had some injuries, and I still like saw him as a Yankee because of the way he just had that like, you know, proper, you know, kind of looks good in pinstripes, but also carried himself in a way that was very professional. And you don't see that in every organization. A lot of them are laid back and wearing your hat backwards, wearing sweatpants. And I always saw Cervelli always well put together. And I always thought he was somebody that the Yankees should have held on to.
He was a guy that his minor league like batting average and on base percentage were always worse. And when he got called up, people were like, some people just hit better in the bigs. And every hit for like the first year of his career was just a ground ball through the pitcher's legs right over second base. If they shifted back in 2009, he maybe doesn't have a career.
Yeah.
It was every hit right up the middle, right up the middle, right up the middle. It was cool.
Good. Thank you for those answers. That had my whole career, if you're my favorite player, or if I was your favorite player, you probably were related to me. And so that's why I asked. So I appreciate that.
You know, there's those sicko kids in the yard throwing from down here and stuff. They're like, I love
yelling Blevins. People throw like you on a wiffle ball field and yell Blevin.
Yes.
Nobody ever has.
That's how it
ever has.
I yell Burley.
It's Rich Hill now.
Football. You've got to keep the tempo up. All right. Our fifth question is, if you were in the Mets clubhouse and separate answers, who are you giving a pep talk to? Who are you giving like a believe in yourself, like, you know, motivational little chat to?
Yankee series, 3 weeks to go.
All right, I got mine. Jerry, you go first, though.
All right, I'm going to go with Jeff McNeil.
Very good one.
Jeff McNeil is the type of player that I love. I love his style. He is an old school, put the ball in play. I don't strike out. I'm always dirty. Just a hustler. But he's also like such a hothead and slams his helmet and cusses and screams all the time. And he plays this game. Whereas, you know, you hit the ball hard, go for it. And he's having a rough year. And I hope the future of baseball includes more Jeff McNeil type ball players, because I think it's more exciting, more action, less three true outcomes kind of thing. And he's been struggling and you can see it in his face. And like, I just want to go and be like, dude, you're unbelievable. Slap him on the face and be like, dude, you're way better than you're being. Stop putting pressure on yourself. Just relax, play some baseball. You're about to play the Yankees. This series is always exciting. The fans, the stadium are always vibrating. Just enjoy it. Soak it up. Go out there. Get out of your own head, take a deep breath, look around, see that there's, you know, 45,000 people here to watch you play. Take a breath, enjoy the moment, and then get back out there and play this game you've played since you were 6 years old and have fun doing it. That's what I would be. That would be my answer.
That's a good answer.
I like it.
Beautiful.
So for me, and I think it would be better coming from Jerry as a former reliever guy anyway, but Edwin Diaz for me, because Edwin Diaz is going to be a free agent after next year, I believe. And he's having another one of these tumbles to the end of the season. He had a good stretch there right after his kind of blow up after the All-Star break. And now he's back to blowing up again. And I know he's much better at home, and maybe it's a trumpets thing. Maybe it's a psyche thing, but I truly believe that Edwin Diaz is pitching for the closer role next year. Right now, I think that it's not a guaranteed lock anymore. I don't think it was to begin with either. But he needs to show up. He needs to find his confidence again. I think it's another thing of command issues and, you know, being afraid of hitters and stuff like that. And I think a really good series where he gets some big innings against the Yankees can sort of erase the last couple of weeks of bad memories. But it's going to be the biggest spot of the year for him. It's going to be the largest and the loudest crowd. And it's going to be the meanest crowd if he doesn't show up again. So I think out of all the guys right now, I think McNeil's a really good answer for hitters. I think Diaz is probably the best answer for pitchers, either him or like McGill, because he's been slumping a little bit too.
Okay. It's a little closer on closer.
Yeah, that's
a speech.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I think Yankees fans should pay attention to. And especially if you're going to the game, if Edwin Diaz gets to come into a game, his walkout music is fire. Like the trumpets, it's like one of those things where it really creates an atmosphere, like a Mariano's, you know, his Inner Sandman. This is like a different level of fun and excitement, and the fans get into it. Mr. and Mrs. Met play some trumpets. It's fun. It's fun. So look out for that. Hopefully the Mets are locking down a save and they get to do that.
All right.
Right, fellas.
Maybe not locking down. Come back.
Oh, yeah, we'll come back. Yeah, maybe.
Let's make it interesting. A couple runners on.
Four hit
by. Or at least hear the music, I guess.
Yeah. Walk off wild pitch. I've already told everyone.
Sunday night. Be there, I think, right?
I think we're going to be there, yeah.
Fun.
That's so pro.
Does that five before you guys go, right? You have one more?
Yeah, we have one more, I think. All right, Jerry, I'm thinking the one at the top. You cool with that?
No, you go for it.
All right,
handle it. You got it.
This one's got a condition to it. Besides the Luis Castillo dropped pop-up that got the Yankees a walk-off, which I'm sure you're both familiar with, what's your fondest Subway Series moment that you've watched?
Jeter leadoff home run, World Series.
Oh, okay. Should I have excluded the 2001 series?
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's a good one. Yeah,
and
I was thinking regular season, honestly.
Subway Series.
Is there any moments? Is there any like
the Mets have a couple? The Mets walked off Mo. They walked off Chapman last year.
Tyler Clippard's debut.
That's a fun one.
I think he hit a triple and shut down the Mets as a starter.
Oh yeah. I
forgot. How do you guys feel about Clip in a Yankees uniform? How did you like him as a Yankee?
Well, he was having a very, very poor year, so I think we got a bad judgment of him. He was.
The high changeup wasn't working.
He was the scream at the screen. You cannot bring him in. This cannot be. It was just a stretch him while they were finally playoff bound. And then eventually they traded for D-Rob and Canely and moved Clip.
Oh, D-Rob would have been like a good answer for.
I thought he was too big of a star, but I have no idea. Like D-Rob is.
I would have accepted D-Rob.
I don't think I would have accepted him. I think John's right. I think he would have been. I mean, yeah, he's a closer. Nasty, by the way. Fellow great Cavs, Jake.
Yeah. Oh, we.
Yeah, but he's got a great whole body. You just have Cavs.
We we were blessed enough to see David Robertson at a spring training, not wearing much, and that was a treat.
Not safe for work, Bob.
Not similar to what Poppy's putting out right now.
Look at this.
Steamy.
May 20th, 2007, Tyler Clippard, six innings pitched, one earned run against the Mets in his debut.
Wow. Six innings. Good for him.
And then he hit a triple, I believe. Scott Proctor to Moat for the win.
Scott Proctor.
Formula. Was there a shit show?
He had a double, then he had a big double.
Was there a shit show Mets Yankees doubleheader last year?
Yes.
Was that the Chapman blown save? Did the Yankees blow the other one, or did the Mets blow the other one?
All three games ended.
They were chaos.
Chaos.
They're all dumb. There was an Ahmed Rosario walk off at the Away Stadium, and then I think Hicks had the comeback on
weird.
Diaz.
That was weird.
Just a weird.
He walked
series.
It off at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
That was the strangest feeling. Like
super bizarre.
Felt dirty.
Yeah, that was one of those. I think everyone had some dark nights during the middle of the quarantine and prime quarantine. But I think for me, that one was like, I don't know. Does sports matter?
What are we doing?
That's what it felt like to me, too. I was just
The Mets just walked off at Yankee Stadium.
empty Yankee Stadium. Yeah. So bizarre.
We should go to the beach.
There was three walk-offs in a row, 28th, 29th, 30th.
Yeah.
It's going to be a messy weekend.
It's going to be much more fun than last year, though, which is good.
God.
Who are the pitchers?
Both teams just clawing to stay in this fight.
Yeah. Monty versus McGill.
Tyler McGill, who's a young starter, exciting, had a little bit of a down.
Yeah.
He's got great stuff. He's got, like, he's got huge balls. He attacks.
Huge balls.
Huge balls. Yankees can't hit right. Love his approach.
You know that. Like, if the Yankees score two runs, it's a huge game for them right now.
I mean, we can't score
either.
That
could be a bounce back.
Exact same. Yeah.
Judge is in, like, a 1-for-20 slide, and, you know, offense kind of goes with him. And then game two is Kluber.
And Walker, yeah.
Taiwan Walker.
And then Cookie in game three, and we don't know who for you.
Yeah, because Taiwan went to the 10-day, and Cole is nursing a hammy.
Yeah, who do you think gets that start? Is it going to be Heal?
No, because he just pitched.
Yankee said they have no idea.
Sick. That's good for us. Let's go.
Wednesday, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday. No, he
a day
can't
short. You can't do that.
They brought up Davey Garcia, and that'd be a mess. Heaney. So yeah, it's gonna be
Heaney.
Wait, is Davey? Davey's a lefty. Right?
No,
he's not. I was gonna say if he's a lefty, you guys are fine. Don't even worry.
I think Cole just makes that start.
Well, then we have Heaney. Yeah,
I think Cole's making the start. I think he's gonna be fine. He's gonna push for it. This is what you paid him $600 billion for. So.
That is approximate.
I think Davey was at the stadium for this series, so it sounds like if you want to read between lines.
I think Davey might piggyback Kluber in game two.
Interesting.
Okay.
We'll see. I was gonna say something.
What were you gonna say, you think?
I was gonna say something and I forgot.
Yeah, my hope's up, man. Come on.
I forget.
Kluber.
Davey.
Just start throwing words at him, see what happens.
Hamstring.
I forget.
Okay.
$6 billion.
Said about it.
Yankees can't hit. Chad Curtis, bad guy.
Yeah.
We're going real back now. Bernie Williams, maybe? I don't
know. Judge had 3 hits yesterday.
I have to Google Chad Curtis, bad guy now. I don't know that. So I won't let you.
Fun read.
Yeah.
Oh, then. Oh.
It's not a funny bad guy.
He was teaching.
Is it like an Aubrey Huff stuff?
I'll let you know. He was teaching at a school, and then he's now in jail.
Oh.
Oh.
Jeez.
Oh, that's not fun. That's not fun controversy.
No, no, no. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry for bringing the mood down.
No sides of it. It's just
that's kind of on me.
No, I totally forgot what I was just saying.
Okay.
So that's fun.
Is that really how we're ending the pod?
Oh, yeah.
You guys want to?
Yeah. If you want to find out,
30 seconds of talking real hard. You have 11:30, Sam. Okay, so we have some minutes. I'll think real
so
hard.
So we'll sit in silence and think. Easy question. What needs to happen for the Mets to go to the playoffs?
What needs to
miracles.
Happen? Miracles. Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to make sure we were there.
Because they're 70-71 now, right?
Yeah. They're actually playing decent baseball. They lost so many on the road during that stretch, and they played so bad at the beginning of the year that it's no longer in their hands. They need the Braves to, which they have. They have the Braves have been playing down. The
Six
Padres,
and nine,
like 15. The wild card is still open.
I believe in a Mets wild card more than I do in a Mets division, actually, right now.
Yeah, it's still open. They can do things. They just have to get it together. And by some miracle, if we get like DeGrom back in the playoffs, that's the only way that
I think that's the only scenario in which he would come back. If it was a wild card game or like game one of the division.
That's what I think is happening right now. I think he's playing catch and he'll ramp it up if the Mets start to pick it up. And if not, they'll shut it down. Yeah. So
there's your answer, I guess. Win every series and hope other teams lose.
What about like you guys aren't – the division is gone, correct? You guys aren't catching the Rays.
Yeah.
No.
What do you guys need?
Another 13-game win streak. They play Toronto and Boston a couple more times. They play the Rays. Toronto's looking really good. They get a good start, like Jake said. They get a good start every night, and their lineup's deep. I'd love to host the wild card. At this point, it's dropped down to let's be in the wild card.
Yeah.
And then what are we looking at if they're there is the main thing. The wild card is one game, and you have Cole. What's the rotation after that? And
like, does Taillon get game one of the DS then if he's healthy?
If he's healthy.
His injury, we thought a phantom IL was coming because he hadn't pitched in 2 years. And then now he's pitched every 5 days.
Yeah.
But, you know, shoulder soreness or something like that. But it was like a potential surgery-inducing thing that put him on the IL. So I was like, oh, I guess this isn't phantom.
Yeah, you're phantom. All of a sudden, you're pointing out a ligament in the ankle or something like that.
Yeah, I was like, this is pretty, like, detailed.
You guys don't have to be this like, specific with the lie. Come on, guys.
He was in a boot, so.
Yeah, yeah, give me a lower boot. Body injury. Yeah, hockey style.
Man.
Yeah, you just you hope the brand gets better. They have an A lineup. That have they started the game with the A lineup once?
The closest they get, they've gotten were Dave Hickey caught.
So they're, you know,
I don't even believe in that A lineup though anymore.
Right. That's a whole nother issue. But the fact they haven't even played it when they've had the opportunity to for 3 weeks with the big boys.
So what do you think the biggest issue has been? Has it been the way the front office has just kind of stuck to their analytics and not allowed the season and mid game like guys to be hot?
So I think my gripe is, and I'm not against analytics, obviously. I enjoy them. We look at them a lot and all that, but analytics provide you end result numbers and not day in, day out numbers. They take away the day to day. Does this guy help every day? And the Yankees had, when they were winning, replacement players in. Velasquez was at shortstop, and he's just kind of like, you know, quadruple A call up. But he's stealing bases whenever he's on base.
But he's going to do what he does.
And he's moving over on sac flies. Now Glaber's back, and Glaber's struggling and slow and bad at defense right now. They had Wade or Odor in, who was like a lefty presence, who was bunting to beat the shift and doing like extra stuff, especially Wade, who was stealing and
a lot of extra stuff.
And then they brought Urshela back, and he's been struggling and also just doesn't do the extra stuff. And they had Greg Allen in for a little bit, and he was like crazy. And now their A lineup is just a bunch of boppers. And they hit into so many double plays because no one's stealing anymore. No one's moving on this pass ball 10 feet away from the catcher. No one's going to third or going to second. And analytics just doesn't care about any of that stuff. They just care. Well, after 30 days, he hit 5 home runs and he had 4 doubles and this was this. And it's like, yeah, but did these all happen in 2 games and the rest of the 28 were nothing? Because that's kind of more what we need to focus on.
I wanted to change my answer after listening to what you said about how your season is, nobody's doing the little things. I changed my answer from the person that would look the best in pinstripes. You guys need Brandon Nimmo. You guys need a guy that gets on base, takes walks, plays solid defense, gives you a pro at bat every time, will take a base when he needs to, will get hit by a pitch on purpose. He does all the little things. His on base percentage is always north of 400. He's not afraid to just take a walk. He'll get on base for your big boppers. He'll disrupt the baseline. Like he just does all the little things that a team like that needs. And so
I think
Nimmo
Yankees fans, do you think they would be mean to him about the smiling while he runs the first base?
Like, no, they would love it because it's genuine. He is a genuine human being.
Because I love it, but some Mets fans just have a problem with it and I don't really understand.
Well, I think they don't anymore. I think he's just a good Christian kid that praises God
good Montana
every time he gets
boy.
On base. Yeah, Wyoming.
Wyoming? I thought it was Montana.
Wyoming. No,
bad luck.
The best thing about him sprinting the first on walks and hit by pitches is that it's mind games. I don't think he knows that it is, but I don't think he's intending it to be mind games. I think Jerry, you're right. It's just genuine. Some, but I hate it. And it,
yeah, that's fair. And a lot of people do. I played with Adam Rosales. Do you remember? He sprinted everywhere too. And it's a thing. It's just like, hey, my dad, when I was in Little League, said that I need to run hard every time. He runs on and off the field. And we played in Oakland together. And if he's playing like randomly right field, and he has to run all the way to the dugout. Like, if you guys been to the Coliseum, that's like really far. And the kid sprints in and he's up first and he's
it's like, you know, some
coming on deck.
Stuff.
I'm like, dude, hey.
Sprint in from the bullpen?
Slow down. I'm not sprinting in from the bullpen. I haven't sprinted as fast as I can. Like, I haven't ran as fast as I can in like 12 years. When's the last time that you ran as fast as you can? Like a 20-yard dead sprint.
Sausage costume.
Oh, yeah, they had a reason.
Yeah, it didn't work out. R.I.P., by the way.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you went down hard. You took it like a man, by the way. I listened to the Talking Baseball post, and you did some damage to yourself, and you showed up the next day. That's a pro, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pain.
Good show.
Now me and Cole both got tight hamstrings, so it's all good. I pitched on mine the other day. Struck out.
Oh, by the way, Brandon Nimmo is in the Trevor Plouffe Gibby Club. He led all of MLB in hit by pitches in 2018.
It's huge.
Old Italic.
So I like huge.
I like that.
Shout out Plouffe.
All right. We got to get going. We got Talking Baseball today, but this was awesome. Yankees fan, sir. Go follow Shea Station on all socials, at least for the next 3 days. And then you'll see, you know, how much you want to know about the Mets.
Even if you want to troll them or something, just follow them.
Bring the heat. We're okay with it. Bring the heat.
And then when do you guys record for Talking Yanks listeners? Like after the series, or when's the next day when the Yankees fans can come see what you're saying about our team and what happened?
Yeah, you'll hear from us again on Monday after the Yankees series. We're going to recap what happened with the Yankees, and we're going to preview what's going on with the Cardinals. And we record an episode the day after every Mets series ends for the rest of the season.
We'll be, and for Mets fans, we'll be at game 3 in Citi Field. As soon as it ends, we'll be going back to the office, and we'll be on the mic probably 1 a.m. after the walk-off wild pitch. And we'll be live on YouTube at 12:30 to 1:30. It's gonna be a late night.
Run it.
If you're right about that, that's the call of the century. I'm looking forward to it.
And plus, you might see Citi Field burn to the ground if it's a walk-off wild pitch from Edwin Diaz. Like it would be a riot, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be fun. All right. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate
you. Guys.
You guys play your outro song, even on the Talking Yanks podcast.
Wow.
We're honored. It's a good one.
Bad. All right, gentlemen.
Take care, guys.
It's been a pleasure.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.